Turn, please, if you would, to the book of John, the 15th chapter. John chapter 15. My text will be verse 5, but I would like to read verse 1 through verse 8. John 15, 1 says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. I believe it is necessary that we each ask ourselves some diagnostic questions from time to time. Questions such as, well, am I saved? And if I'm saved, why do I do what I do? Or how do I do what I do? That is, what is the motive of my service? So if I'm saved, do I serve? And how do I do that service? What is my attitude about serving? And so today, in a roundabout way, I will be dealing with these questions. I ask you to be open and honest with yourself and before God. I ask you to examine your own heart, and may God's will be accomplished. I want to speak to you a message that's really found in verse 5. The title of the message is, Without Jesus, You Can Do Nothing. And what a sweet reminder that is. Without Jesus, you can do nothing. Let's pray. God in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of gathering together, and we trust that everything that's said and done today will be for your honor and for your glory. Thank you for meeting with us. And we ask you to take your word and apply it to our hearts, and we ask if there's any here that is lost, that you would convict them of their sin. Draw them unto yourself, convict them. Grant repentance and faith, and Lord, give them life that they might be saved even today. Help them to know that as a lost person, they have no hope but in you. But then we pray for those of us who have been saved. Thank you for the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for what you've done for us. Help us also to learn from this passage today that our service to you, our labors, and Lord, our life, we cannot do anything that it's not rooted in you. So help us to be dependent upon you. So teach us that as well. And we commit these things to you today. We love you, we honor you, and we praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. So we want to think about for a few moments this morning about how that Jesus, without Jesus, we can do nothing. Let's think about the text itself and the reading of which we gave to you from verse 1 down through verse 8. First of all, when we come through here, we recognize that the direct context demands a distinction between the vine and the branches. And well, in our society, I think it would probably be more likely for us to consider a tree trunk with the root system and the branches. There's just a distinction between them, is there not? And what we know in the passage is that a vine supports the branches, not the branches the vine. And so every tree, as you go outside, you'll see every tree is just like that. You have the tree trunk and the roots there, and every branch off of that is supported by that trunk system. The branches do not support the trunk. The trunk supports the branches. And so recognize that as Jesus makes an application that he is the vine, that and his believers are the branches, then we understand a precious truth as we begin. We also need to recognize as we go through this text that there's a distinction between the branches. As we read in our reading, we noticed that there was branches that abided in Him, abode in Him, and there were branches that were not abiding in Him. I'll just make a very clear statement in regard to this, that the branches that abide in Him represent saved people. And so if you're saved today, you're considered a branch that abides in Christ. And the branches that do not abide in Him are lost people. And so if you're not saved today, you are a person who does not abide in Jesus Christ. So if you should reread through here, perhaps this afternoon, go back through the context, you'll see some statements about branches that abide and branches that do not abide. Understand the distinction between the two, and we'll be making other comments regarding this as we go along anyway. And so we'll just make it very clear before we continue on. The branches that abide have life, and their life is in the vine, whereas the branches that do not abide do not have life. That's readily seen in our society. You go out and you look at every branch that's in the tree. If it's abiding in the trunk and the root system, then it's going to have life. And if it's not abiding, it's going to be a dead branch. And if you cut off a branch, it dies, right? So you understand that there's life in those that abide. There's not life in those that do not abide. There are some lessons from the text that I would like to offer you before we come back to verse 5 itself and hone in on that. And so here's a number of these things I want to mention. First of all, the man who doesn't abide in Christ, and glance at verse 6 if you would, the man who does not abide in Christ is cast forth as a branch. That's the likelihood, that's the analogy. Like a branch is cast away, he's cast forth. So verse 6 talks about that he's cast forth as a branch and is withered. And we see that so much in our society. If you cut branches off your tree, it doesn't take long. It's withered up, dries up, and they just take it out and then they dispose of it. Now, I think it's important to realize, and I want you to know, that there was never life present within that branch. In other words, if you go through and you look at the analogy, he's talking about branches and vines. And he says here that every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. I believe that's a reference to those who make a profession of following him. Just like, for example, you have Judas Iscariot. Judas was an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, made a profession of faith, and appeared from every aspect from a human viewpoint that he was a believer in Jesus Christ, but he fell and went away to his own place. As a matter of fact, in verse 3, he says, "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." And I believe that's a direct reference to Judas, that Judas, well, he was part of the group, but he just never really was saved, was he? And so what I don't want you to do is come to the idea, because I've used the natural tree, I've used the natural branches, I don't want you to get the idea in the analogy and the emphasis and the impact that Jesus is using here, that these are people who were in him and then they lost their salvation. If you know the scriptures, you know you cannot lose your salvation. The scriptures teach, once saved, always saved. That's just a good way expressed, but it's a perseverance and the preservation of the saints. This is not a statement that these were people that were saved and then they lost their salvation. But it is a picture of the branches that do not abide. They're dead, they're withered, and they are gathered up to be burned. And the branches that that abide are live branches, living branches. And so keep that in mind, that when you talk about in the text these branches in verse 6 that are taken away to be cast into the fire, they never were in the trunk. They just never were alive. They never did have life. Lost people, that's exactly where they are. You're here and you're unsaved. You do not have life. You need Jesus Christ. The only life you'll ever find is found in Jesus Christ. He is the true vine. And so you can go all the way through this and the surrounding passage and learn that these things be true. But certainly what we realize and recognize in this text then as well, as we read in verse 6 and I've already mentioned, is that those branches that are not in him and never have been in him, they're going to be cast forth and that branch is going to enter the flame. I think that's a picture of hell. Do I believe the Bible teaches that hell is real? I do. I believe that there is a burning, fiery judgment upon those who are outside of Jesus Christ. You're just not going to perish from off the scene and no longer exist. The teaching of annihilation is not true. You will not be annihilated. You will exist somewhere after you leave this life. And it's either going to be in heaven or in hell. Those branches outside of Christ are dead branches, and they are gathered to be cast into the flame. But the good news is that all saved people abide in Christ. If you're saved today, mark it down, look through the analogy through these verses, and you know that as a saved person, you're abiding in Christ. That's where you have your life. That's where you have your source. But glance back to verse 2. I want to remind you that all saved people will bear fruit in some capacity. As a Christian, as a true believer in Jesus Christ, you will bear fruit for God in some capacity. Verse 2 says, "Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit." As a believer, you are going to bring forth fruit. And God will do things to purge, to get away the dead stuff so that you'll be even more fruitful and more productive. But all Christians will bear fruit in some capacity. I also want to make it very clear as we think about this contextual, the contextual lessons is it's natural for the branch to abide in the vine. It's just a natural thing. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to force it. The fact is, if you're a live branch, you abide in the vine, and it's just the natural product. And so if you're saved, you're abiding in Jesus Christ. But inasmuch as it's natural for the branch to abide in the vine, it's also natural for the branch whose source of life and nourishment is from the vine, it's natural for that branch to bear fruit. And so it's just a natural thing for a Christian to bear fruit. We've already indicated the matter of fruit. So as a Christian, you can search your heart. You say you believe in Jesus Christ. You say that you're saved. Ask yourself, do I ever bear any fruit? Have I borne any fruit? And how much fruit do I bear? Is God dealing with me that I might be able to produce more fruit? And so you can search your own heart. You can examine yourself and see if you're even fruitful at all in the things of God. And every Christian will bear fruit in some capacity. But then if you'll glance at verse 7, I want to remind you that God wants us to ask Him to cause us to be fruitful. In other words, as a Christian, you should approach God and say, God, cause me to be fruitful for you. Verse 7, He said this, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you," and if you're saved, that's true. You abide in Him, His words abide in you. "Ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you." Seek His face. God, cause me to be fruitful. Now, why should a Christian be concerned about bearing fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, simply because that's what honors and glorifies Jesus Christ. So you look into verse 8, that very next verse. It says, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples." So you'll demonstrate the fact that you are a disciple by bearing fruit. If someone looks at you or someone looks at me and looks at my life and my conduct, my speech, everything in my life exists of, and they look at me and they don't see anything of Christ, they don't see any activity, no love for Him, no service, no obedience, and they look at me and they don't see any spiritual fruit. If I examine myself or you examine yourself and you look and you say, I just don't see any fruit. I don't care for the things of God. I don't think about the things of God. I don't have a concern, a passion for Jesus Christ. And you look at your life, you don't see any fruit. What do you have to come to the conclusion of? Don't you have to at least raise up the question of, well, if I'm not bearing fruit, then perhaps I'm not abiding in the vine. Maybe I don't have life. I think that's an important question. Because we have a generation of individuals in our modern generation that it's so easy to make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, to look like Judas, to act like Judas, to be pure and have the motions, but really not have life and not really have any fruit. And that's really a sad commentary on our society. It's good for us to ask those questions. Am I saved? Okay, if I'm saved, how am I doing for Jesus Christ? How is my service? Am I being fruitful? And is God trimming me to make me even more fruitful? You see how important that this is, that we would ask ourselves these questions. The last thing that I would hate to see for you is if you would go through your life with a false profession of faith and die and go to hell. That would just be tragic, wouldn't it? You want to know whether or not you're saved. And if you're truly saved, you abide in Christ. And if you abide in Christ, it's natural for you to bear fruit. And it'll be to different capacities, but you will bear fruit. And you'll want a desire to bear more fruit, won't you? And so we're told to ask, and God is glorified when we do. And so you say, well, what is this matter of abiding in the vine? What do you think that means? Because he says, if you abide in me, I abide in you, and you abide in the vine, and so forth. Well, just like you see the vines on the tree, you can use that as an example. That sap, where does it come from? It comes from the root system up through the trunk and then into the tree. And if that's severed, if it doesn't have that source, then it's not going to have any of the life-giving sap. Does that make sense? Laura, the other day, transplanted a rose from here to here. And in doing so, well, I don't know what happened, but somehow she didn't get enough root or something. And she said yesterday, I think it was, she said, that rose just don't look like it's doing very well. I said, no, it's not doing very well. It's drying up, and the leaves are all crinkling up and drying up, and there's only one branch that might have a little bit of life left, so we're babying the thing and putting a lot of water on it. But the fact is, if it's cut off, it's going to die, isn't it? Now remember, people that are lost are already cut off. It's never not that they were saved and lost it. They never were saved. They never did abide. But if you're saved, you abide. And if you abide in Christ, you have that life-giving flow. What does that mean? I would think of it this way. And as much as you see the picture in the natural sense of trees and branches, I think for us to abide in Christ, I just see it simply as a surrender or a submission. Do I abide in? My life is in Jesus Christ. Is He my source? Is He my dependency? Is that who I rely upon? If you believe you're saved, how do you answer the question, if you should die today, why should He let you into heaven? And if you tell me, well, I've lived a good life, I treat my neighbor right, and I joined the church, and I keep the commandments, or you have some sort of thing that you think that you're doing, that God loves you because of you doing those things, you've missed the boat. I'll tell you, salvation is in Jesus Christ alone, apart from works. The only way I can have forgiveness of sins is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood. I was dead in trespasses and sins, but I've been made alive. I've been quickened, the Scripture says. Where did I get that life? That life comes through Jesus Christ. And if you're saved today, you're saved through the life of Christ. Christ gave you life. And that's my total dependency. I'm saved simply because of who Jesus Christ is. Now, how am I going to live? How am I going to serve? It's still going to be through Jesus Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, the Apostle Paul taught us. And so we need to follow after Christ. So I think of this abiding in Christ. Well, He gives us life, and so it's a matter of surrender and submission. It's a dependency upon the source. I think of it perhaps in the accepting of the natural outflow of the vine. I don't know of any branch that's going to say to the sap, stop right there. We don't want any of that. That wouldn't work, would it? My friend, you say that you're saved. You say that you know Jesus Christ and that He's your Lord and Savior. You believe you're a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you depend upon Him for your daily life? Do you depend upon Him for your daily walk? Everything that you need, is He still your resource? I submit unto you that He is. So with these things in mind, back up to verse 5. And I'm really going to, we'll read the verse again, but I'm going to hone in on that last phrase of the text. But learn as you look at verse 5 once again. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you're saved, that's still true. He's the vine, you're the branch. He that abideth in me and I in him, it says, the same bringeth forth much fruit. So if you're a Christian, you're going to bring forth fruit, aren't you? Here's the thing we'll emphasize through the remainder of the message. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. Let me ask it this way. Let me offer a challenge in this capacity. If the Lord's presence departed from this place, from our church, could we continue to exist? Now you have to understand the question. We believe that when we gather together in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, He said that I will be there in your midst. This is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come together and God meets with us. But let's say the Lord says, I'm not going to meet with you anymore, and He withdraws His presence from this church. Would this church continue to exist? Well, the real answer is it could continue to exist in a human sense, but it won't continue to exist in a spiritual sense. Because I fear that there are way too many churches in our society that one time was a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord met with them and dealt with them and was in their presence, but because of their sin, because of their liberality, because of their departure from God, He withdrew His presence from them, and they're no longer churches of the Lord Jesus Christ, but they still, you can see them on the websites and the street corners, they're still there, and they still have people come, but God's not there. You say that doesn't happen. Oh, yes, it does. And you just have to be honest about that. Now, I believe that God is in our midst. God meets with us. And let's say God should say, I'm taking my spirit out of Grace Memorial Baptist Church. We no longer be a church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We could still come together and gather just like we're gathered today, but it's going to amount to nothing, is it? Nothing. No spiritual anything. Why? Because God's not with us. Inasmuch as a person cannot live outside of the vine, a church of the Lord Jesus Christ cannot live outside of that vine. But I fear, and I've seen this for many years, we can become so programmed and have all the rules and guidelines and procedures that we can function. We don't need God. We can do this. We can keep this machinery going. And that's an error. Really is an error. We as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ must be wholly dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ as we gather together, as we attempt to serve Him in fulfilling the Great Commission. We must abide in Him as a church. And so think of it in this capacity as we narrow it down to you and to me. If the Lord absented Himself from me, would it have any effect on what I do? Let me make the application because I don't want you to think that you'd be lost or anything. But remember Samson? Remember that the Spirit of God was upon Samson. He did all those great wonders and marvelous feats of strength. And Samson was a prophet of God. But then he kept fooling around with Delilah, you know, and he ended up having his hair cut off, which was a representation of the Spirit of God and the power of God upon him. And his hair was cut off, and it says in the Scripture that he went out to shake himself and to dispose of those Philistines as he always done in the past. But it says that he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. Here's a guy that was saved. But God withdrew His hand of blessing from him because of the sins which he had committed. And he went out to do what he always did in a spiritual sense, but he didn't know that God had departed from him. Do you see the application? I'm not suggesting that, God can withdraw His hand of blessing and I lose my salvation. I don't believe you can lose your salvation. But as a Christian, God can withdraw His power, can't He? God can take away the strength of which we need, and He can place us on a shelf. Would that have any impact on your spiritual walk if God just withdrew Himself from you? It will have every impact, will it not? Unless you're just going through the motions anyway. I said I would deal with these diagnostic questions. That's why I said at the start. Might be a little bit painful, but it's necessary for us to recognize, why do I do what I do? Why do I read my devotion? Why do I pray? Why do I witness? Why do I come to church? Why do I give? Why do I do this? Why do I do that? Why do I do these things? And what manner do I do these things? What attitude do I have in these things? And I'll tell you, if you're trying to do it in your own power, in your own strength, then you're not abiding in Him. You're trying to do it on your own. And I'll tell you, you're generating a lot of activity, but it's not going to benefit anything. You're true source is Jesus Christ. Every one of us who name the name of Christ, we abide in Him. And the only way that we can then serve Him as His children is through still abiding in Him. Does that make sense to you? So let's think about this statement. Knowing that the living branch abides in the vine, if you're saved, you're a living branch. All saved people abide in Him. Yet He makes this statement in verse 5, "For without Me you can do nothing." Six things. Number one, any branch which has life has fruit-bearing potential. That's good news, isn't it? Any branch that has life has fruit-bearing potential. Number two, every branch is to naturally bear good fruit. That's just what God wants of the tree, isn't it? Every branch is to bear good fruit. So, dear Christian, I want you to know that that's why God saved you, is to bear good fruit. Number three, the branch will not have to strain to bear good fruit. I've yet to walk by an apple tree or a pear tree or an orange tree or any other kind of product and hear that thing grunting. "Ooh, I like to get that orange out." You know, you just don't hear it. There's no straining going on. Healthy, natural branches will produce fruit. They will. Christians will bear fruit. You will. You don't have to strain at it. You don't have to get up every day and say, "Okay, now what do I got to do to bear fruit for the Lord today?" Just live for the Lord Jesus Christ. Abide in the vine, and you'll naturally bear the fruit. Those things will come out in a very natural way. So number four, the branch can only bear good fruit as the vine nourishes and as the husbandman labors. The only way I can bear fruit for the Lord Jesus Christ is as I abide in Him and He nourishes me and He directs me. And verse 2 talked about the husbandman that purged the branches to, you know, cleaned up some of the dead twigs here and there to make it more fruitful. And we have some dead spots in our life sometimes, and God needs to clean those things away so we'll be more fruitful. God wants us to be fruitful. And it's natural that we be fruitful. So I submit unto you, number five, efforts by the branch to bear fruit apart from the vine will only generate vain fruit or bad fruit. In other words, if you're trying to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in your own power and ability, you're just going to produce useless fruit. It's going to be bad stuff. Because the real stuff comes from Him, because you got to abide in Him and it flows from Him. "Without Me you can do nothing," Jesus said. So if I don't abide in Jesus Christ, I can be a pastor and I can lead this church, but you know what? It's going to be pitiful. Nothing spiritual, nothing eternal will come out of it if I'm not abiding in Christ. All of our service, all of our labors as Christians is rooted in Him. I can't overemphasize that. I really can't. You say, "Well, I guess not. You said it about 10 times. I'm going to keep saying it. If I'm going to be anything for Jesus Christ and do anything for eternity, and I'm going to define good fruit in just a second, I must abide in Christ. It must come from Him. Without Him, I can do nothing. And so I submit unto you, number six, anything of lasting value must be rooted in Jesus Christ. If it's going to last, it must be rooted in Him. Let me define good fruit. You say, "Well, you should have done that before." Well, maybe. "But I say unto you, good fruit, including the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and verse 23. Good fruit is anything done for Christ, which was germinated in His will and led of the Lord in us, was nourished and sustained in its action by the power of the Holy Spirit, whose growth was a product of God's grace and whose final end was by Christ, in Christ, and for Christ." Starts in Him, continues in Him, and finishes in Him. That's where good fruit will come from. So as you think about your private devotions or your giving or your service or coming to church, begin it all with Christ. "Lord, how would you have me to serve today? Let me be found true. Let me be found faithful. Let me be found fruitful." Don't we find a complete dependency upon the vine? These branches out here on these trees have an absolute dependency upon that trunk and root system. Without it, they're dead. We have a complete dependency upon Jesus Christ. And what that should remind us of is that it should dispel any attempts at self-sufficiency. Because I've done it, you've done it, I know we have this tendency. Well, I know what I'll do is I'll just read more. I'll just pray more. I'll fix this, I'll do this, and I'll do that. Well, if God's directing in that, then do that. But if you're just trying to generate it on your own power and you're just going to try to make this work, you might be able to get some fake fruit, you know, but you can't do anything of worth and value for eternity if God's not in it, flowing through you, doing it for His own purpose and for His honor and glory. So we ask the question, won't the fruit be the natural product as desired by the vine and intended by the husbandman? I say unto you, yes. True fruit, good fruit, is a natural product. That's what God intends. So we ask, why do we strain at our own efforts to bring forth fruit? Why do we strain at that? We don't need to strain at it. We just need to be dependent upon the Lord and responsive to Him. Let Him flow through us. We abide in Him, and He abides in us. So let me submit unto you, unlike the actual branch and an actual vine, I want to just bring this in, and I don't want to mess you up on this, but I said that those branches out there are not saying to the trunk, stop, I don't want any more of your sap. They don't do that. But we do in a spiritual sense. Whenever we sin against God, what we're saying is stop flowing in me, stop giving me what I need. And the sin will hinder us. It will. Sin will hinder our walk with Jesus Christ. And so I think we can glean from that just for a moment there, can't we? And so really it boils down to this. As branches, we must simply submit to the vine. Perhaps the word obedience is a good word. Am I obedient to Jesus Christ? Am I dependent upon Him? Am I desirous to have His will be done in my life and Him to do the work, not me trying to do it without Him? And so it just really boils down to that last phrase in verse 5 where Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. If we would let those words sink into our hearts and find application to our lives, I think that might make a difference for us. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So in closing, let me make a statement unto you that are unsaved. You need to keep in mind that the dead branches, and if you're not saved, you're a dead branch. You're not attached to the vine. You never have been attached to the vine. And therefore, you're without life. And your prospect, the only prospect, is you're going to be cast into the fire. And I know that's hateful. I know that's not seeker-friendly. But I'll tell you, it's just needful for you to know that if you're lost, you're dead in trespasses and sins, you're not in the vine, you will be cast into the fire. So that means you need to repent, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, find life in Him. He is the only Savior. And so I submit then that all life is found in the true vine. And if life is found there, so is the daily provision for daily existence. As there is nothing that the branch can do on its own, there is nothing of eternal value that we can do without Jesus Christ. It's going to be eternal and the spiritual. It must be in Jesus Christ. There's a song in our hymn book, and we sing it. It says, without Him I could do nothing. Without Him I'd surely fail. Without Him I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Without Him I would be dying. Without Him I'd be enslaved. Without Him, life would be hopeless, but with Jesus, thank God, I'm saved. Jesus, oh Jesus, do you know Him today? Do not turn Him away. Oh Jesus, without Him, how lost I would be. I submit unto you today, you that are here without Jesus Christ, you're lost. You cannot be saved without Him. You cannot do it on your own. Your religion is not going to get you there. Nobody else is going to get you there. You can't get you there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father but by me. Dear sinner, today, if you're going to have life, it's only in Jesus Christ. You have to abide in the vine. But then, of course, if you're saved, you cannot serve God without Jesus Christ. You can go through the motions and you can produce some fake stuff. But you cannot really serve Jesus Christ as you ought to serve as a believer in Him outside of Him. Why? Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. So I pray that this message today is a reminder to each one of us who know Jesus Christ that without Him, we can do nothing. We need Christ. So I point you to Jesus, dear lost friend, and dear saved friend, I still point you to Jesus. We need Him. Lock, stock, and barrel. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the day and the opportunity to share your word. And Father, I pray that you'd overcome any frailty of my speech and take your word and apply it to every heart by the work of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you'd save the lost. But I also pray for every one of us here who you've already saved, that we would take this lesson home to our hearts to know that we must continue to abide in you, and we want you to flow through us, and we want to be fruitful and even bear more fruit. But it's only going to be as we're dependent upon you. So we ask that you would move and convict and draw and empower and work as only you can. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. Forgive us where we fall short, but cause us to love you and to serve you. So we pray for the lost that they might be saved and the Christian that they might be strengthened. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. Numbers 342. 342.